I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation that my trials come only to make me strong. Those were the opening words of the song penned and made famous by Andre Crouch. Today we look at a passage of Scripture that teaches us in this life you will have your faith tested. If you'll join me in 1 Peter chapter 1, we pick up in verse 4 and we focus today on the next paragraph, the next few verses found in verse 6 and 7. But just a way of reminding us what Peter is teaching, he's reminding us that our salvation, the fact that we have been begotten again to a living hope through faith in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is going to be revealed to us in that last day. He says, we are saved to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Now he picks up here where we begin today. In this you rejoice. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Here he says, it's through faith that you are being guarded, that you are being kept by the power of God Himself, and your salvation is going to come to a completion and is going to be revealed at the last time. It's going to have this great uncovering, and it's going to be a great celebration, so much that he then says, in this, in your salvation, in your faith, in the unveiling at the last time when the day of Christ happens and you come to a full understanding of Christ and God and your relationship that you have through faith, this, as we look to that glorious day, gives us great excitement. That word greatly rejoice literally means to leap up and down with great joy. Have you ever been moved so much by happiness that it made you just quiver and shake and jump in your seat? Any of y'all seen Ichiro Girl? Any of y'all seen the video of Ichiro Girl? Do you know who I'm talking about? Ichiro is a Hall of Famer, an all-star, a Japanese player who came over to the United States. He is an outfielder for the Seattle Mariners. The man could hit, you throw a baseball, he could hit it. You hit a baseball, he could catch it. You tried to steal a home from second, he'd throw you out. And there was a girl who was attending a Seattle Mariners game, and she is over right there on the first base sideline, and she's in the outfield, and a ball is hit, a foul ball is hit by the opposing team coming right at her. And Ichiro catches the ball, but it goes out of play and into the stands right over her head. Ichiro dives and lands right on top of her. And he gets off of her, and he goes back out to the field, apologizes to the young lady, and the camera's right on her. And literally, she starts bouncing in her seat. And she's looking for her phone. Oh my gosh, I gotta tell everybody. Ichiro landed on me, my favorite player. She is going nuts. She's looking around wanting to talk to people. Hey, did you see that? Did they get that on camera? Hey, I gotta tell, she is just greatly rejoicing. 10 years pass. They bring her to a Seattle Mariners game to throw out the first pitch. And she's so excited. Ichiro is long since gone. And Ichiro girl is going to throw out the pitch. And as she is going to the mound to throw out the pitch, the public announcer says, "And welcome back to the Seattle Mariners, Ichiro, to catch the ball." And literally, she starts jumping again. She cannot believe it. "Would you sign my baseball? I mean, can you take a picture?" She is so excited. Oh, but my friend, that pales in comparison to what we're going to experience when we get to sing with the glorious throngs of saved children of God. "Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb." Man. And so here he takes us and he says, "Now let's come back to earth." Oh, that's a great thing. And that's wonderful. But guess what? We live our faith out right here. And he's going to tell us about the testing of our faith. Do you know no untested faith will enter into the presence of God? You say, "Oh, I believe my grandmama took me to VBS." We'll see. "Oh, I go up to that church." What's the pastor of the church you go to? Well, let's see, what is that boy's name? I think they got a new one there. No untested faith will walk on the street of gold. No untested faith will go into the city that needs no sun nor moon, for the light of that city will be the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb Himself. My friend, you and I can expect, if you claim to be a follower of Christ, that your faith is going to be tested. And what we see right here is the testing of our faith. How does it happen? What is it? He says, first, let's look at the qualities of the testing of your faith. He says, "In this you greatly rejoice." Yes, your salvation. Yes, that glorious day when it will come to completion and the great celebration. Though now, the first quality, it's today. It's today. Thank God in eternity we won't have to worry about a tested faith. We won't have to worry about the test. It happens right now. If you live on planet Earth, go ahead and write it down. Your faith is going to be tested today, though now, notice the second quality, for a little while. Thank God every test is temporary. Temporary. They don't last forever. They may feel like it's going to last forever. If you've been going through a test of your faith and it literally feels like everybody in Brookhaven knows your business. You ever been going through a test of your faith and it literally feels like you'll never make it? This is too much. I'm done. Count me out. I cannot make it. You ever felt that way? Well, I have. You know, pastors are at the front row when people go through tests. That's the nature of what God has called us to. We are first responders. We are 24/7. Now, we're not robots. We're not machines. We sleep. We struggle. But our calling, our desire is to help you when you go through tests. And in my life ministry, I've never been through a week where my people at some level, someone was not going through some crisis in their life. And this week was no different. I was reviewing, just thinking about this week. And I'm telling you, some of the hardest tests I have ever known my people to go through, some of my people to go through, have happened this week. And you might be one of those folks, and I don't even know what test you're going through, but can I encourage you today? It's just for a little while. It's just for a little while. I know right now it feels like it. You can't see the future on the other side. Can I tell you something? It's just for a little while. If necessary, the Bible says there are times when there are testing and is necessary. You have been grieved. Some tests that come into our life, you think, well, Lord, really, really, it's not necessary. It's not necessary. No. Sometimes they are necessary. And the third quality, they're tough. They're tough. You don't meet tests that are not tough. In fact, the word here is interesting. In the same verse, we have a word that is an exaltation, a glorious word of leaping for joy, and it's right in the same verse as a hard word, grieving. You see, when you grieve, you feel loss. That's what grief is about. And it may be you are actually feeling a loss. It's that type of testing where you've lost someone and you've never known a world without them, and you're experiencing the hardship. And the question is, will you still believe? Will you still trust in God? Will you still follow Christ? Because you've lost something that is dear, and you're asking the question, I don't understand why, Lord, this doesn't make sense. Why did you bring us all this way? For it to end like this. And you're questioning. And it's tough. It's hard. Or maybe it's a situation in your life where there's the threat of losing something. A temptation comes, a thought comes into your mind, and the old devil is trying to threaten the loss of something. He's trying to get you to worry about something that honestly hasn't even happened and is not going to happen. But he'll get you worried about it, anxious about it, because he will threaten the loss. Maybe it's the loss of a job, the loss of a relationship, the loss of some possession. The old devil loves to bring doubt and threat of loss, and you're already grieving, upset, and angry about something that's not even happened. That's the devil, because he's a liar. He's a deceiver. He's the father of all lies. These are the qualities of testing that come. Notice the kinds of tests. There are two kinds of tests. In big, general, sweeping view, an overview of testing. The Bible says that though you've been grieved by various tests, various trials, so as that your faith can be tested to see if it's genuine or not. Is it authentic? Is it real? That's why these tests happen. So the two main kind of tests, it says it's variegated. That's what it means by various trials. It's multicolored is what that word literally means. Multicolored trials. Now, you remember that I told you this because in a far off distant future, when we get to chapter 4, we're going to talk about this again. So just keep this in the back of your mind. Multicolored, manifold, some of you may have, various trials. And the two main, if you put these in your notes, is kind of like a comparison. The first one over here is temptations. Temptations. This is a type of testing of your faith. It comes in the form of temptations. Now, temptations are first from Satan. They're from Satan. They are not from God. Because the Bible makes it clear, God tempts no man. He is not playing some game with you. God takes no joy in your failure. God takes no joy in seeing his beloved child stumble and fall. God takes no joy in your sin. He is not tempting you to sin. who loves to rob you of your joy? The deceiver, the thief, the devil. So temptation comes from the devil. What is it trying to get you to do? To make a choice to do wrong. To choose and do the wrong thing. To rebel against God, to doubt God, to not have faith in God. You are tempted. Now, under this same column of temptation, it comes from the devil. Its purpose is to get you to choose and do wrong. And it often happens when you are alone. Where was Jesus when he first was tempted? In the? Say it together. In the? And the answer is wilderness. All alone. Thank you for participating. More of y'all won't. Never mind. That's when Satan comes. Do you know why? Your pastor's not on the front line when you're tempted. I'm not. You're not there when I'm tempted. You know what Satan loves to do? He loves to isolate you over here all by yourself. In your own thoughts. When no one else is around. When it's dark. And it makes you feel like, hey, nobody's watching what I'm doing. You're in that motel room on your business trip by yourself. At a pastor's conference by yourself. That's when the old devil loves to come knocking on your door, tempting you. Nobody's watching. You've had a hard day. Life is unfair. You deserve better than this. And the old devil starts his activity, starts to tempt you. Now, there are three areas under temptation. I would write these three areas. The devil is not creative. He is dumb as a stump. But he's real good at doing the same thing over and over and over again. He's got three tricks that he put in over. And over again. There's nothing creative about it. He's been doing it since Adam and Eve. What is the first area of temptation? It is passions. He will tempt you in the area of your passions. The Bible calls this in John's epistles the lust of the flesh, passions, your desires. Some of us are more prone. While we can be tempted in all three areas of temptation, some of us are more prone in the area of passions, our appetites, our desires, our lust, those things, and the devil knows it. Now, the second area is possessions, in the area of possessions. If we were to pick up on the various trials, various temptations, and we realize it's multicolored, I would call the first one flaming red passions. That's the first color of temptation. It's a flaming red passion. The second one I would call jade green possessions. Jade green, he gets to get you to think it's called the lust of the eyes. You want the things of this world. You want to possess it. You want to control it. And that's a thing with you. You're worried about what other people have and what you don't have. You want to have stuff and wear stuff and the things of this world attract you. And you give your money and your time and your resources and your energy and your thoughts to the latest, greatest, coolest, richest, best, this, that, and the other, and you are wasting your life as eternity passes you by, and you're stuck right here wondering what the neatest thing you could have to make yourself look better. It's called the lust of the eyes. Possession, that's your area. Now, we all struggle with that at some point, but the devil knows if that's your key area. And the third one is royal purple pride. Royal purple pride, the pride of life. Oh, yes, I'm just more important. We're going to sound religious and we're going to sound right, but when it all comes down, we want to be served. We have to be seen as important. After all, we've been at this church for a long time. I think they need to have an NIL category to pay some of us who great. Our name is on the church. We are important around here. My daddy was here, my granddaddy, his granddaddy. There must be buildings named after my family. Don't I get a discount? Isn't there an NIL for me? You know, we approach our church membership like that. Consumerism. Well, what kind of deal can you give me? You know, that church over there was going to give me this kind of deal. They've got a program that would, I'm kind of interested in. What kind of programs do you have? I know y'all don't live in that world, but your staff does. And believe me, there are a lot of folks, some of the sweetest people in the world, but if you're not careful, the old devil will come and have the pride of life, and he'll tap it. They're not paying you enough attention. You're not getting what you deserve. Why don't you? And he'll fill in the blank. Now that's how your faith can be tested under temptations. Now the other major category is trials. Now these come to you because God allows them. If need be, God allows them in your life. He allows trials to come into your life. The second thing you need to see is God is doing it not like temptations. He's doing it to challenge your faith to do what is right. To do what is right. To do what is good. And I'm encouraging you today to recognize when a trial comes into your life, God is challenging your faith to trust Him. That in the midst of that crisis, ask the questions, that's natural. Feel the hurt, that's natural, that's human. When you go through this trial, keep trusting in Him. Keep trusting in Him. The trial is there. And God is trying your faith to see if you'll keep trusting, if you'll make the right choice. And my friend, this often happens, not like temptation in isolated times of your life. This often happens in the public times of your life. When you're around people, when you're in a group, when you're at school, when you're at work, when you're in some club, when you're at some party, some social event, it's there that often you will be found to be tried to see if your faith will keep trusting God, and people are watching. And we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity here to pass the test and show that our faith is genuine. Well, you got temptations. You have trials, and now he says, let's look at the process of testing of your faith. How does this happen? And he compares it to how you purify gold in the old days. In fact, it's still somewhat done this way today. Faith, more precious than gold that perishes, that's temporary, though it is tested by fire. Here's what he's saying, is that the testing for faith, the testing of your faith is like the testing of precious metal. Now, what's more valuable than gold? Well, some would say you're more valuable. I don't know. But I do know this. Your faith, your relationship, and how you relate to the Lord Jesus Christ is more valuable than the most valuable thing on this earth. Because this all passes away. It all perishes it. But your faith is meant to be eternal, where it never passes away, where you and I are called to have a faith that transforms us for all eternity. And it says it's like when the old guys used to take that that gold that had been dug out of the ground, and there's grit and dirt, and there's impurities all in that gold. Well, how do I get the good gold? How would they do that? They would put it in a crucible, hard metal, put a fire, that crucible in a fire, the hottest fire you can imagine. And it would begin literally to melt that gold and all the impurities. Well, the heavy gold stays below, and the impurities would rise to the top, and it would mar the image of that gold. It would just look murky. And the goldsmith would just scoop off and skim off what they call the dross, the impurities, that ugly old slaggish looking stuff. And they begin to skim that off, and they keep burning and melting and putting the fire to it. And then the impurities would keep coming to the top. And until they could see the reflection of their face in the purity of that gold, they would keep removing the impurities. Here's the process. Reason why you and I are being tested. Well, actually, there are two reasons. And here's the first reason. To purify your faith, to purify your life, to say, are you of the metal of Christ? Does your faith line up with Christ? You see, here we have not only the process of by fire, but the ultimate product. The ultimate product. Yes. It is for making an improved version of you, a better faith, a call to holiness, a call to righteousness, a call to be Christ-like. I'm not where I'm going to be, but praise God, I'm not where I used to be. Man, if you see some of my flaws now, and there are plenty of them, I used to have a lot more, but Jesus got rid of them, and it was tough, and it was hard, and he's still got some more he's working on. But can I tell you something? I have been through, dear Christian, you've been through the fire, haven't you? Oh, yeah. You can see where you learn some lessons about life, about faith. Because your life was tested. Test that test. Test that test. Some of you, every time I come in this building and see you here, you are a trophy of His grace, because I know the test that you passed. I don't know them all, but I know some of them. But there's a greater product. As much as it is that He's trying to make an improved you, there is something even greater that He's trying to accomplish. And it's found at the end of verse 7, that the results of all of this testing of your faith may result and be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That when it's all said and done, and your faith has been tested and found authentic and genuine, all of heaven will give honor and praise to the Lord Jesus Christ for His work and your response to His offer of salvation. Jesus will receive all the glory and all the praise, all the honor, for look at what He did by taking a sinner, saving him, saving her, and equipping her, and transforming him, and making him into a child of God that is going to worship Him for all eternity. You see, the ultimate product of a test is the glory of God you and I will bring to Him. You see, you and I find ourselves much like the Atlantic Ocean and the Indian Ocean, down at the tip of the continent of Africa. Those two oceans come together. The Indian Ocean flows north to south along the eastern coast of Africa. And as it does, that water warms up and it also gets dirty. It starts picking up more salt and debris and it flows down south. But on the other side is the Atlantic Ocean, and it's actually bounced off of South America. And it's come across all the way, this current, and then it hits right at the southern part of Africa, and it brings up all the cool, fresh waters from below and raises it up. It doesn't have all that salt in it. It doesn't have all that mud and debris. And these two worlds clash, and they don't mix. And you and I are standing in life right at the crunch, right at the collision. Our faith is being tested. But look. Look ahead. Look where we're going. Look what all the end results will be when we are found faithful to our Lord Jesus Christ. The beauty, the glory, the rejoicing. And that awaits us. I want to tell you this. A faith that hasn't been tested can't be trusted. Because the testing of our faith has a greater purpose than improving and strengthening us while it does that. Our genuine faith, proved by testing on this earth, will bring honor and glory to our Savior Jesus Christ like a good child brings honor to their father and their mother. Many of us are parents here today, grandparents. I want to tell you a secret, children. We don't really need anything from you. We really don't. We got enough money, and we're going to spend it. We are going to leave an inheritance. But there is one thing we desire. The good name we gave you, we want you to keep it a good name. When they say your last name, we want them and that it's been found right. Now, if we feel that way on an earthly level, how much more do you think our Heavenly Father feels because He gave us His good name? That's really all He wants. Honor the name and bring honor to Him. So how are you doing? How has your faith been tested? Tempted this week? Oh yeah. Tried this week? Oh yes. How are you doing? Have you kept the faith? Have you said, Lord, you know I'm struggling. Lord, you know I'm struggling. But I'm still trusting. I'm still praising. I showed up today. And you know my heart. Today, some of you need to be saved. All this really doesn't make any sense to you because you don't even have a faith to be tested. You've got to come to Jesus. You're lost. You're in a hopeless situation. Here's the good news about testing of the faith. When you know there is a purpose to life, you realize we don't have to live a hopeless life like the devil claims it is. We know there is a purpose to life, and His name is Jesus. And He loves you, and He has this great life here for you to get through this life to even a better life. So I'm going to encourage you, give your life to Christ today. Turn from your sin and place. Now, if today you've been struggling, you've not been making the right choices, today is time to get back to Christ. If you will repent of your sins and say, Lord, I do trust you, but I've not been obedient. I've been trying to do this thing my own way. I've been giving in to temptation, and today I need to get right. Friend, why not today? Don't go another step in the wrong direction. Give Christ your heart in obedience today. He'll forgive you. But stop trying to be in the old world and His world. You got to make a choice. Some of you need a church home. Can I tell you a lot? We got a lot to do around here. We got a lot to do around here. There's 20,000 Lincoln Countyans not even at church. If you ask them, who's the pastor of your church? They wouldn't know. They got their names on a roll, but they're just a loss. They have no relationship with Jesus Christ. They signed a card somewhere because their grandmama took them to Bible school, and somebody said, come down here, and they went down there and signed a card, and they haven't been back since. They don't have a relationship with Christ. You see how many empty pews are around here? Imagine if 500 of us right here in this room went out there and just told somebody how good God is this week. Do you have a church home? You got a Bible study? You got a youth group? You kid in missions? I'm telling you, 500 went out there just in Lincoln County alone. Just think about the joy that could happen. You'd have so much fun this week, you wouldn't know what to do. Hey, boss, I'm late right now. I'm telling my faith to somebody right now. I'll be at work in just a minute. Imagine how much fun we would have at First Baptist Church. Just telling people the goodness of God, the goodness of God. I'm telling you, if God's calling you here, come on. We got things to do. Time is passing quickly. We'd love to have you by like faith and like baptism. Our invitation is going to be offered in just a minute. I don't know how God's been calling you today, but can I encourage you today? Come to Jesus. He loves you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you do for us, how you love us, how you care for us. Perhaps someone here today needs, they need to be saved. Someone needs to make this altar a prayer altar of repentance. Somebody today needs to have a church home, Lord. Father, time is passing so quickly. Help us. Help us be strong to continue to trust you when the trials come, when the testing comes, when the temptation comes. Have your way, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you please stand?